Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. Before we jump in, we want to encourage you to follow us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It's the best way to connect, be encouraged, and stay up to date with all things Planet Shakers. Now, to this week's podcast.
I want to really just pray this scripture over you. Romans 8, 14 to 17. Have a listen to who we are. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God, God's very own children. The Spirit that you received is not a spirit that makes you slaves to fear all over again. Rather, the Spirit you received, that He's the Spirit who brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifying with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we're His children, then we're also heirs. Not only do we get to inherit everything that is God's, but we get to inherit it jointly with Jesus. Not just heirs, but co-heirs with Christ. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are filling this place today. Thank you that you are filling every heart today. Thank you that by you, because of what Jesus has done, we can call God our Father. Thank you that right now we can just call our Abba, Daddy, Papa. I thank you that we can be free in your presence. You haven't given us a spirit of slavery. You haven't given us a spirit of fear. But your spirit is love, and it's the love of a father. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take your seats. I just want to take a few minutes to set up what I believe that God's doing today. But the thing is, what God's doing today is not just what He's doing today. It's what He's been doing through the Women's Conference Friday and Saturday, last Friday and Saturday, Pastor Leif preaching last Sunday. It's just, it really feels like, and I know many of you are feeling the same way, it's a moment for our church where God is shifting something. And I just want to come into agreement with everything it is that God's doing. That's the whole purpose of the message today, is just to agree with that. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke to me weeks and weeks and weeks ago when I first saw my name on the roster for this morning about what the message was going to be about. And it was about just evicting fear with love. And I didn't connect the dots that it was going to be after 2 weeks of Pastor Leif being here and ministering. And when I did connect the dots, I almost tried to pull out, and I thought, well, that's been done. I'm going to preach something else. And I almost, like, I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, don't you dare. And I'm like, okay. He said, you know what it's going to be about, so just come into agreement. So that's all I'm doing. I just want to come into agreement. But I know that God wants this truth to go deep. And it's not a new truth. It's not a novel truth. It's the same old stuff, but it's the good stuff. God is. God loves. God is Father. We are His children. And you can enter in today. And I'm telling you, if you don't know Him as your Father, you have that opportunity today. At the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to call Him Father. And it's so, so simple. Because of what Jesus has done, we can call God our Father. But what that means is we live differently. What would it look like? I just want to challenge our thinking. What would it look like to live a life totally free of fear? No more fear, no panic, no anxiety, no night terrors, no cold sweats, no stress, no worrying about what other people might think about me, no fear of disaster, just free to hear His voice and do what He says, knowing that you're already accepted. I love what Pastor Leif said. You already got an A on your report before you sat the test. Like that, he says, this kind of knowledge can lead to dancing. I'm gonna say, this kind of knowledge can lead to a lot more than dancing. It can lead to freedom in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. But But I want to go there again today. Like, when's the last time you felt totally free? Because I'm telling you, that's what God's doing in our church. He wants us to live lives that are totally free and free from fear. I was thinking about fear, and I was reminded of something that took place in my life several years ago. I was up a telephone pole, I'll explain in a minute, in absolute fear and panic, because for most of my life, I had had a pretty high level fear of heights, like a reasonably significant fear of heights. There's reasons for that. A fear of heights is the fear of gravity, and I fell foul of gravity as a little child. There's a little trauma. So often fear enters through a traumatic experience or the words of others or whatever it is the enemy uses to get in there. But I'm up this telephone pole clinging onto the thing for dear life. We were at a college event. It was the beginning of the year, and somebody, I mean, I'm not mentioning any names, but somebody thought it would be a marvelous idea for all of the students to connect with one another and get to know one another over this traumatic experience. It was at a place called The Trees. As a little free plug there, you should give me a free ticket. I will totally post it back. This is a place called The Trees up in Belgrave up there. Maybe some of you have been there, but it's basically a high ropes course where you challenge yourself and learn teamwork and all those things. And I'm sure it worked marvelously. I was pretty darn distracted when I was there, so I wouldn't know. But I decided to go first because I didn't really want anybody to see me going through what I knew was coming. And I tried to wiggle out of it, but everybody's doing the bravado thing when we're on the way. It's like, are you going to do the high one or the low one? Well, you can't answer the low one to that. So I'm like, no, I'm going to do the high one. We're doing the high one. We're all doing the high one. I'm doing the high one. So I only had myself to blame, but I'm up this telephone pole on this very narrow platform. I mean, I'm clipped onto a cable. There's not much that could happen, except that at that moment, there's thunder overhead. There's lightning, and I'm thinking, where do you not want to be when there's thunder and lightning? The highest room in the tallest tower, right? With the tip of the hat to Shrek. No, where you don't want to be is on a hill, up a tree, clipped to a cable. That's the last place you want to be. And to make matters worse, and I say this with a great deal of respect because it's a real story, but that was the week when the news broke of a pastor at a youth camp getting struck by lightning. And so I'm thinking, not even my vocation, protects me in this situation. So there's all kinds of things going on in my mind. And right at that moment, I'm hoping I'll get away with it. I'm just like, I've got this heavy breathing going on. I mean, there's some people in this room know what I'm talking about. And I'm shaking and I'm sweating and I'm clinging to the tree. The last thing I wanted was for somebody to see me, and I'm hoping I can just get through this traumatic experience before. But then somebody comes up the platform behind me and I hear, you know, Pastor Clayton, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And I was so angry in that moment, I wanted to turn around and say, don't you just, I'm having a moment here. But of course, I couldn't speak and nothing would come out. And when I did speak, it was a word study on fear and the difference between phobos and dilia. And that actually had the effect of settling me a little bit, but it didn't have him convinced for not even a moment. But I want to talk about fear today because, see, fear, and I don't want to talk about fear. I want to talk about the opposite of fear. Actually, I want to spend most of our time just talking about the opposite of fear. But fear doesn't have an easy opposite because fear is like this catch-all term which stands for several things. I mean, fear, we use the word fear to describe the way that we feel in response to stimulus that makes us afraid. But we also use, it's for how we feel, but it's also how we act. But really, when you break it down, fear is a belief. And it's a belief that there's something that has some power over you that's controlling you, that you can't control. And it's not for you. So fear is several things, which is why in that scripture that the student quoted over me, fantastic that was, you'll find three opposites to fear, not one. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but instead what he gave us, I mean, sonship in the scripture that we read, but power, love, and a sound mind. So we're going to look at some opposites to fear, but just before we do, I've got to tell you that from that moment, I just thought, you know, we want to deal with fear in our college. And I want to, like, right at the beginning, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So I don't want us to have knowledge without the fear of the Lord. So we made a decision that at the beginning of every theology semester, we would teach about the fear of God and just nail this right up the front. So I'm teaching this sometime later, and I get through the session and I use that story. It's a bit of a laugh, you know, it opens up people's hearts. It gets people laughing at me. So God's doing a work in them. I just did that on you, by the way, because I know what it is that God's doing. But at the end of the class, one of the students said, "Hey, can we pray for you?" And I just thought to myself, I can probably manage. I've been managing this my whole life. I don't really need that. And that's honestly a little bit of pride that came out. I'm like, do you know what it was? It's probably fear, actually. Fear of being evicted. But I said, yes, sure. And the student prayed for me. Do you know, I didn't know until 2 weeks later. I was up a scaffolding with somebody that wanted to show me a building site. It was highly illegal. They snuck me in. There was no safety equipment. And I'm at the top of the scaffolding before I realized, oh, I'm not afraid anymore. God has supernaturally and instantaneously dealt with that. And I just believe that is what God's doing over our church. It's not just this morning, but it is this morning. Some of you will, as a result of this meeting, maybe nobody will lay hands on you. Maybe you won't have a massive crisis moment. I don't know. But I just believe that in the coming days and coming weeks, some of you are going to wake up and go, oh, that's something shifted in my life. Do you know what it is? It's a revelation of the love of God. It's a revelation of who you are in Him, because no fear can stand His love. So let's talk a little bit about the opposites, because boldness is the opposite to fear. See, fear is, make no mistake, by the way, fear is about worship. If you don't believe me, fear, what we fear is what defines us. What we fear, by the way, if you look up to something that, and you acknowledge that it holds some power over you, that's actually an activity of worship. So fear, what we fear defines us. What we fear often shapes us. What we fear can prevent us from doing the things that we want to do and can force us to do things that we don't want to do. So how many think that sounds a little bit like lordship? If you're serving that thing and you're looking up to it, it's an issue of worship and it's an issue of lordship. That's why it's so serious. That's why, by the way, the Holy Spirit's after it in the church. Because if we have the opposite of that, we have boldness and confidence. Now, there are some people this morning who are going to get set free from a fear of heights. There's some people probably going to get set free from a fear of spiders, but I'm not primarily talking about a fear of heights this morning or a fear of spiders this morning. I'm talking about the things that prevent us from doing what God wants us to do. Like the fear of your financial future that you pass off as good fiscal discipline or good risk management. Like the fear of man that the Bible says is a snare, worried about what other people think of you rather than worried about what God thinks about you. Can we just shoot that stuff in the head today? And again, we don't have to, because it's the love of God which evicts all fear. Because see, God's bigger and scarier than anything else that we may fear. And if when we look up, we only see Him, that means we look down on everything else. The Bible says, for example, if money is your fear, like my financial future, and there's a lot of fear over money around at the moment, but if money is your fear, the Bible says you can't serve two lords. You'll either love the one and hate the other. What's that? Looking up, looking down. Or you'll be devoted to one, that's looking up, and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. You can't call both things Lord. Money's a great servant, but it's not supposed to be the master. Same with anything else that we might fear, by the way. So let's look at the opposites. Let's look at boldness. What happens? What would it look like if we lived a life totally free of fear? Well, it would be a life of boldness and confidence and courage, doing great things for God. Maybe things that you even feel right now God has planted in your spirit to do, but you just lack the courage, or you're held back by intimidation. But see, when His love, when we get identity, when His love evicts that fear, what replaces it is boldness and confidence. And I'm telling you, that's such a significant thing, because boldness is what gets the gospel preached. In Acts 4:29, the believers pray, Lord, consider, and they're under significant threat. There's fear, there's intimidation, there's persecution. Wherever they turn, threats of violence and so forth. But they pray, Lord, despite the threat, Acts 4:29, you look it up, allow your servants to minister your word with great boldness. This is the day. This is the hour when the gospel needs to be preached. Regardless of the threat, regardless of the intimidation. Oh, you can't say that these days, and you can't say that these days. And you know what? We just need to declare the gospel these days, because these days needs the gospel, needs the good news about a God who loves. Now, love casts out all fear. Takes boldness to release the miraculous. A few verses earlier in that same chapter in Acts, it says that Peter and John do this amazing miracle. Well, God does the miracle, but I mean, Peter just says, I don't have any money, but I tell you what, I've got something that you actually need. Why don't you right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk, and heals this guy who'd never walked, and he'd been begging at the same gate for years and years and years. So it's a mighty miracle. The guy's walking and leaping and praising God. And it said that the people, they looked at Peter and John and they knew that they were unschooled and ordinary men, and they marveled at their boldness. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. See, boldness and confidence gets the gospel preached. Boldness releases the miraculous. Boldness. Boldness gets you into the throne room so you can get your sins forgiven, so you can experience His grace. Hebrews 4:13 says, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace so you may receive mercy and find grace in your time of need. But we need boldness. When we come to God, we don't cower into His presence, because He's not only the judge of the universe, He's your heavenly Father. Say, Father, I need You. We come boldly into His presence, past all the protocol, past all the courtiers. I don't know, maybe you can see that scene in your mind, past all of the other important people, the angels, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, whatever on earth they are. We just bowl in there straight into His presence. Say, hang on a sec, I haven't got an appointment, but He's my Father. I need Him. It takes boldness to go into His throne room. But see, in the throne room, that's where authority is. Do you know what the Bible says about boldness? It says if you've got boldness, it takes boldness to get your prayers answered. The Bible says in 1 John, and I can't remember the reference right now, but it says this, it says 3:21, round about there. It says, if you have confidence before God, you receive from Him everything you ask. Brothers, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive from Him everything we ask. Man, what kind of prayers would you pray if you actually believed that? No fear. If you actually believed that when you pray, you would receive from God everything that you ask. We have the right by inheritance to walk before Him with an uncondemned heart, to just waltz into His presence at any old time and ask Him for whatever we need. And do you know what? That boldness is going to get your prayers answered. You need boldness today. Here's the thing about boldness. Boldness intimidates fear. Fear is intimidated by boldness. You say, fear is intimidating? Fear intimidates us. No, guess what? Fear can be intimidated. Think about it. The Bible talks about a spirit of fear. How does it make us afraid? It is a spirit which is characterized by fear, and it seeks flesh in which to find expression. So when it finds us, it sneaks in through the door of trauma or wrong thinking or condemning words or limiting beliefs or whatever it is. But it will sneak in and it will lodge in flesh and produce what it carries. It will manifest what it is. But here's the secret about the spirit of fear that the spirit of fear doesn't want you to know. It's characterized by fear, and therefore it's easily intimidated. And I couldn't help but think of the story of Gideon that Pastor Rudy preached out of several weeks ago, how Gideon is paralyzed by fear in a tribe paralyzed by fear, in a nation paralyzed by fear, that's intimidated on every side by powerful enemies. But God takes them on this journey where they realize that it's not the enemies that are holding them back. It's not the enemies that are, it's fear itself. So God takes him on this whole journey of getting rid of the fear, getting him from fear into boldness. First, he has to encounter him and give him identity and tell him who he is. And then he has to give him his first job to do and give him a bit of success. But then they get to the real problem. The real problem is that army of 135,000 of all of the enemies that are gathered in the valley. So Gideon gathers an army, then God begins to whittle it down because he doesn't want the battle to be won by the superiority of numbers. So he says, you've got too many, till Gideon's got 300 guys. And he faces 135,000, and still Gideon feared. God says, come with me. I want to show you something. Take your servant, Purah. Go sneak down into the camp. This is how I'm going to encourage you. If you still fear, I'm going to encourage you because you're going to attack and you're going to be victorious. And he goes down into the camp and he overhears a conversation. There's two guys in a tent. One guy is telling the other guy his dream. And he says, I had this dream. It's a horrible dream. It's about a loaf of bread. Man, a fear dream about a loaf of bread. These guys were terrified. This is about a loaf of bread and it came and it knocked over the tent and destroyed. And the other guy said, oh no, this can be none other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Abiezrite. Can you imagine Gideon outside the tent? Because Gideon's quaking in fear. He sneaks into the camp. If he gets recognized, he's dead. But he just knows, I need to be obedient to God. God's up to something. So he goes down and he begins to hear. Do you know what his first thought is? They know my name. Do you know what his second thought is? They know my name. And his third, they know my name. And then he begins to get a bit of boldness because he realizes the enemy, the vast, intimidating enemy of 135,000 Midianites and all the other people are terrified. Gideon goes back and says, we've got this. And with the 300 guys, not only do they cause such a commotion of panic as the fear implodes on itself, and 120,000 soldiers take care of one another, the 15,000 that remain are pursued by 300 guys through the night. All they have to do is turn around and realize there's only 300 guys chasing them, and they outnumber them like 50 to 1. It's ridiculous. Fear, here's the truth. I'm taking a little bit longer on this than I intended. But the truth is this. Boldness is our heritage. Boldness is our birthright because of who we are in Him. But your enemy is terrified of you. Why do you think he invests so much time and strategy into intimidating you and trying to keep you small in your thinking and trying to keep you bound up and limited? Because he's terrified of you. Your enemy's terrified of what you carry because he knows that if once you get a revelation of who you are and whose you are and what you carry because of whose you are, if once you understand the love that you carry, that love is so destructive to his kingdom. So he lives his life in fear of the revelation that you carry inside of you. You can take your seats. So boldness. Boldness is the opposite to fear. A fearless life would be a bold and confident life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the prayers that you'd pray? Can you imagine the dreams that you'd dream again? The thoughts that you'd think? The destiny that you would imagine? Come on, church. If God's doing a number on us with sonship and love, it's because He wants to get us courageous and bold. And He wants to get us courageous and bold because it's a year of victory and there's battles to be fought and there's victories to be won. And we just need to have a revelation of who we are in Him. Second, boldness intimidates fear. Faith. Faith disempowers the fear. What did I say? I did say something. Anyway, faith, yeah, that's what I said. Faith disempowers fear. Faith is kind of the same thing because it's based on a belief. But what we're talking about is it's faith in God rather than faith in the power of that thing. I actually grew up in a denomination which was substantially governed by fear. I was taught to fear deception. If you go to any other church, this is what we're told. If you go to any other denomination, they don't have the truth and you're going to be deceived. And one day I just had to do business with God and say, I actually think you're more powerful. I actually believe that the truth is more powerful than deception and that you care more about me having a revelation of you than the enemy cares about deceiving me. And I had to have the boldness to just step out of that and follow God's destiny, or I literally wouldn't be here. But faith disempowers fear because it's about who and what you believe. If you're bound up by fear, it's because you actually believe that thing has power over you. If you experience a fear of man, many of us are getting set free from a fear of man, bound by other people's opinions. But if you actually have a fear of man, it's because there's a belief. There's a belief that you've accepted and you've come into agreement with that my life is limited and my destiny is governed by the opinions of other people. And the truth is it's not. It's governed by the opinions of God. And He's bigger and scarier than anything that you might fear. I've been on this journey with doubt in my prayer life. Doubt and prayer. No, here's what I mean. If fear can be intimidated, what do you think doubt, the spirit of doubt, is? We just need to doubt it. Sometimes we just need to doubt it. And there's been times when I've been praying and then, you know, with great conviction, and then I start to think about the what ifs. You know, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't happen? What if God doesn't come through? Doubt is a what if kind of spirit, you know. What did God really say? Like, am I really that important to Him? Does He really love me? Can I really trust Him? And all that. Do you know, I've been quicker lately to doubt the spirit of doubt. I start hearing those things and all of a sudden I go, hang on a sec, I see you. And do you know what? I doubt it. What if God is for me? Then who can be against me? What if my God is powerful? What if God will supply all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus? What if that person does get healed? What if I speak to somebody and they do want to come to church? What if? Just, you know what? We need to get into the habit in our prayers of intimidation with our boldness and doubting the doubts. We're nearly done. You can stay on your feet. I'm going to get the band to come. But it all comes down to our trust in who He is, our revelation of whose we are because of our belief about who He is. And that's why we probably do need to deal at least briefly with this. I'm sorry, this is a whole, now I feel like I'm doing a Pastor Leif. This is a whole teaching, you know, this is hours and I'm trying to do it in, no. God just wants to do something, but we can't really talk about fear without talking about the fear of God. Because the same Bible that says God's love, perfect love casts out all fear, and that God is love, also commends us to the fear of God. So can we deal with that very briefly? There's probably more to deal with, but can I just say the fear of God and the love of God are kind of united when we get a revelation of who He is. In the Old Testament, remember I said fear is a belief, but it's also a feeling. The feeling of fright and terror and wanting to get as far away from the thing that I fear has got to do with, it's all to do with what I believe about the thing that I fear. That it's not consistent, like I can't trust it, or that it's not for me. And every other thing that we fear other than Him is not entirely consistent or can't entirely be trusted because it's not universally for us. But with God, like with nothing else that we fear, He's a loving Heavenly Father. He's always for us. The Bible says that He works all things together for good. He's covenanted to be for us. God is good. You know, it used to be this Christian cliche. We still bust it out sometimes. God is good. And the congregation responds. And all the time I say, and you say, and that's revelation because He's just good. He's love. And He's good. And so when we fear somebody that's good, it's the experience of that is like nothing else. When we put His goodness and His love above us, when we look up to, when we worship only that, it means we look down on everything else. No other fear can coexist with the fear of God. And that's about all the time we've got for in the teaching aspect of it. But I just want to enter in today. I want to sing this song, Overflow of Worship. I think that's the song. Overflow of Worship. We're going to go straight there and we'll take it from the top. But I want for us to just enter in today. Come on, let's enter in with the revelation that God's been giving consistently. Last week, the ladies' conference, the men that received their ladies home from the ladies' conference and just got a really big hug. And, you know, maybe your wife said, "He's so pleased with you." I don't know. That's what mine did. If she didn't, that's fine. She's carrying that revelation. Just hear that He's pleased with you. I don't know how you want to respond today. I'm not going to start calling out fears and say, who's got a fear of spiders and who's got a fear of snakes and who's got a fear of heights or, you know, is it? But I just want you to... Maybe you want to come forward. Maybe you want to, whatever it is that you need to do to respond. It's not about the fear. It's about the love. And it's about the love that's going to get us into a position of faith and empower the boldness to do all that He's put in our heart to do.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media @Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.